Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, in spite of the great encouragement I received from Dr. Robbie's assurance that preaching on an Old Testament text was not a sin, I still found the prospect of expounding this text somewhat daunting. Although I have preached on the prelude to the New Testament before, I could recall no particular knowledge of this psalm. Reading the account of those who went down to the sea in ships brought to mind no images of Hebrew naval heroes. The commentators do point the reader to two would-be sailor kings. Solomon's fleet did bring gold from Ophir, but when Jehoshaphat tried the same thing, his attempt ended in failure. I did finally come across an idea that opened up this psalm to this slow heart. To illustrate, I would like to add a verse of thanksgiving of my own to the four canonical verses in the psalm. Some traveled to remote islands, mingling among the nations. They too saw the deeds of the Lord, how his hand shook the mountains by their roots. He stretched forth his arm. With a mighty fist he struck. He caused the earth to tremble. The dry land danced like the waves of the sea. Those in the heights shook with fear. Those in the valleys sought in vain for sanctuary. Their dwellings reeled and staggered like drunkards, and they were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. To the chaos of the deep, his command brought order. A word, and the world was still. Then they were glad because they had quiet. They rejoiced in him who alone could subdue the earth. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. The commentator had suggested that in the stories of redemption from desert waste and gloom of slavery, from sickness of sin and watery grave, Israel discovered an entrance hymn for all seasons. As Israel enters the house of the Lord, it is right for her to give thanks and praise. It is fitting for the redeemed to say so. Their very presence in this place is a testimony to the steadfast love of the Lord, regardless of the length of the pilgrimage, regardless of the dangers through which they have passed. In the darkness and gloom of the early morning hours of September 21st, Taiwan was shaken by the worst earthquake in years. The quake of the century, some called it, measuring 7.6 on the Richter scale. As I try to recall that moment now, I can honestly tell you that whether I was experiencing these things still in the body or already out of it, I do not know. God knows. But so violently did our 19th floor apartment begin to shake that even now, when my wife rolls over in her sleep, I wake up to see why the bed is gently trembling. By that morning, it became gradually more and more clear to us that more had been overturned than our bedroom furniture, more shattered than our dishes. We began to make contact with circles of friends and loved ones. First, our own children, who lived about 50 miles closer to the epicenter, boarding at school. Then neighbors, co-workers, students. Our city had not suffered the terrible devastation of areas to the south and to the east of us. As our seminary executive committee met an emergency session to decide how we could best respond in ministry to such a great need, our first impulse was to simply join together in hymns and prayers of thanksgiving that we have been delivered and that we could come to the Lord's house to celebrate that redemption. Sing and pray we did, but some hearts wondered if it was right, if it was proper to rejoice in the midst of such suffering, such tremendous sorrow. The psalmist assures me that we were not wrong. When the people of the Lord open their mouths and draw breath, the first chorus of their united song should be the paean of God's loving kindness. Here we must begin, for what we celebrate will be what we proclaim, so that joy and strength and deliverance can be the ministry with which we minister. Let the first words of the redeemed be the praise of him who has redeemed and gathered them, of him who can say to the storm and to the quake, Siopa, Hephimosa, peace, be still. Should be the praise of him who laid, and apparently rearranges at will, the earth's foundations. Let the redeemed extol him who fills the hungry in the wilderness with good things, who brings light to those who sit in darkness and gloom, who proclaims release to the captives of sin's disease, who says, whom wind and wave obey. Let us praise him who says to hostile sea and crushing mountain, who says to distress and destruction, to devil and death, this far you may come and no farther. Here is where you halt. Redemption is the first principle of our existence. And every time we gather, it is testimony that he is still the one who saves. In our ministries, we see the great ingathering of east and west, north and south, and we long with great longing for that day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess. But in looking forward to that great day, do we forget, or do we somehow not see that we are now living in the days of redemption? That somewhere between Luther's morning prayer of thanksgiving for the deliverance that comes with the dawn and that great day of the Lord's coming, that somewhere in between these two stands every gathering of God's people. Were it not for his steadfast love, were it not for his daily redeeming of each of us, who among us could be here now? It is right to celebrate and rejoice, not only when the prodigal sons and daughters come home, but also when those who in their daily and weekly pilgrimages have passed through danger and trial, disappointment, frustration, and grief, the assaults of the devil, the enmity of the world, and the condemnation of the heart. We have to celebrate when by the redeeming love of the Lord, we gather again in the sanctuary of his courts, the safe haven we desired. Sometimes it would seem the Lord is in the tempest, is in the quake and the fire. And there are moments when the redeemed, who regard some of the Lord's counsels as already dark enough, attempt no knowledgeless explanation, no easy or heartless justification, and simply lay their hands to their mouths. When he chooses tempest, quake, and fire for himself, that seems to leave only silence for us. And from his inscrutable counsels and his wondrous deep works, we row for all we're worth to the safe haven of his grace. And from that safe haven, we go forth, having extolled our Redeemer We go forth to be ambassadors of the steadfast, redeeming, reconciling love of God in Christ Jesus, proclaiming him whose word can turn salt waste into fruitful vineyard again, and call forth from the desert an oasis of plenty, who gives children to the barren and bereaved, and makes of the orphan a son or daughter again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.